Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiprah and the name of the other Puah, and he said, "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the power, the grace, the anointing that rests upon your word. Thank you for your word, which equips us, guides us, and strengthens us every day as we take time one-on-one with you in your word. Father, help us to grow an understanding of what we've been called to do. Help us to become more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to be bold, obedient followers of Christ, warriors in your kingdom, daily about your business, listening and following you faithfully. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we come to you today to glorify your name, to lift high your name. You're such a kind God, to stoop down and love us, to love us in the way you do, the great mercy that you show us day by day, your faithfulness down through the years. We thank you for that, Father. We praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. I want to continue to remind our listeners that the American Family Association has made an important decision, and we will no longer be canceled by culture and banned from speaking the truth. AFA is introducing our latest ministry effort, AFA Streaming, built and managed by the American Family Association. Previously, AFA relied on third-party platforms such as YouTube, Vimeo, and Facebook to stream content. However, these platforms have become censors of biblical truth. AFA Streaming is now available. AFA Streaming is an online platform that hosts all AFA's produced video content, from documentaries and church curriculum to our Cultural Institute series as well. All of these are available now for online viewing on a user-friendly, first-class website. AFA's vision is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA Streaming provides top-notch resources that address issues related to the core values of the ministry of the American Family Association. It's simple to create an account and stream limited content for free, but also be mindful, Great Commission partners, that is, those who make a monthly donation of any amount to the ministry, will have unlimited access to all content on the new platform. Please pray for this ministry effort. The American Family Association continues to be a leading ministry organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. You can set up your account today and start streaming. Simply go to afa.net to find out more information about doing just that. Again, afa.net. Hope you'll take the time to do that. We are honored and blessed to have as our phone guest today, Kevin McCreary. He's the founder of the organization Every Black Life Matters. Kevin, how are you today?
I'm good, Pastor Joseph. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Doing great. An honor to have you on. And I've only met you by phone in just the last few days, but I've been really blessed to learn more about you and the organization Every Black Lives Matter. So I'm going to ask if you'll just take time to jump right in and tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you came to start this organization.
Excellent. Yeah, I get asked that question a lot, and it helps if I provide a little bit of more background and context of sort of where I come from and a little bit of how we got started. So I was born and raised in inner city San Francisco, you know, basic urban dweller and urban life. Mm-hmm. And I was born in abject poverty in San Francisco in the 1960s and grew up in that kind of environment. Later went to San Jose State, received a sociology degree. So urban, abject poverty, steeped in leftist sort of ideology and that kind of thing. So I get it to a T. And then sort of married the love of my life, married for 34 years, and the Lord did something sort of unique with us. I say it's unique because it doesn't happen to everybody, but he lifted the veil. My wife is also sort of in the, you know, she actually has a psychology degree. So I'm sociology, she's psychology, and she was born in urban inner city Detroit. And poverty as well. And so he lifted the veil and allowed us to see that what we believed in all of our life up to that point really wasn't boding well for the things that we thought we were supporting and thought we wanted to support. And so he gave us a sort of a new way of civically engaging, a new way of really wanting to support and manifest his kingdom and his will into our communities. And so we started to think differently, act differently, and really go about trying to civically engage differently from that point. And as a result of that, I've written four different books spanning sort of social, cultural, political issues for the past, 15, 18 years or so, maybe 20. And so that's sort of that scenario. I'm also the president and chairman of the Frederick Douglass Foundation of California, mm-hmm. and I'm an executive with the Douglass Leadership Institute as well. So that's a little bit of that background. Now, what we saw last summer as a result of 9 minutes and 45 or so seconds of George Floyd being pinned to the ground, we saw a range of emotions across the United States. We saw, you know, everybody was outraged. And we saw a lot, the outgrowth of that being manifested in different communities in different ways. And a lot of what we saw was violence, anger, frustration, riots, and burning of communities. Unfortunately, the majority of those communities were black and brown communities. Unfortunately, the majority of the people that were burning the black and brown communities, and especially the black and brown stores, were actually at the behest and encouragement of Black Lives Matter, and they were, you know, joined with Antifa. They're mostly white, 95-98% white comrades who were being egged on, and those whites were burning black businesses, and the BLMers were whopping it up. I thought that was outrageous, and I thought, I can't, you know, I must, this is some kind of a joke. I can't be seeing what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. We have black and brown people standing by, literally partying at black and brown businesses being utterly destroyed by whites while seeing that they're standing up for blacks. I mean, this was some kind of a, you know, bad joke, I thought. And I thought, something has to be done here. Mm-hmm. And then I saw a lot of churches actually marching with these folks as they were doing these things. And I thought, no, something's really wrong here. Mm-hmm. And then I saw churches in the next weekend putting placards in their front, you know, their front steeples, their front yards, their front, you know, placards and associating with these organizations. And I thought, no, something's very, very wrong here. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. I chalked it up with, okay, we had an emotional tirade. We just were on an emotional ride. After these pastors, bishops, and other folks go home, people of faith go home, they're going to go to the website. They're going to really see what these organizations are about. They're going to recognize that Marxism is completely antithetical to the Christian faith. They're going to recognize that these people are not about the nuclear family. They are not about a strong family and having fathers as part of the family makeup. They are not about encouraging our children to have a strong educational foundation. They are not about at all entrepreneurialism and encouraging the black communities to be entrepreneurs and to really come up by way of meritocracy. And so, you know, after they really go and do their homework, they're going to be looking for a righteous and faithful alternative to Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. So we decided that we would start an organization that would be an alternative to BLM. Mm-hmm. A righteous and faithful alternative to Black Lives Matter.
So, Kevin,
now, we did not... Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Let me just mention this. So part of what you're saying is both of those organizations, Black Lives Matter as well as Antifa, were not really, in fact, at all standing up for justice, but they were, in fact, what you refer to as two very Marxist organizations. Is that right?
Well, absolutely. I think the record shows it. I think that you actually have Abe Hamilton, that's part of this network, that has done excellent yeoman's work and expositions on that as well, mm-hmm. proving that, you know, witchcraft and incantations and demonism and all kinds of things that he's uncovered as a result of his great work. So there's all kinds of real problems with these organizations, and it's already been brought out in a number of different exposés, but so that fundamentally what we realize is that church organizations and corporations really would want a righteous and faithful organization that they could, you know, be a part of and really partner with that would stand up for black life without all of the other baggage associated with what was going on at the time. Mm-hmm. And that's why we started Every Black Life Matter. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people say, well, aren't you still dividing America? Aren't you still, you still have black in your moniker and this and that? We felt that it was very, very important that we keep black in our moniker because we didn't want to be so so tertiary, so far apart from BLM that people would not be able to make the association. We have some great black organizations that are, that are alternate to BLM, mm-hmm. but you know, when you think of them, you don't think of BLM as the alternate. And a good example is Bob Woodson and his incredible work that he's doing at the Woodson Institute. But you don't think of them as an alternative to BLM. When you think of an alternative to BLM, mm-hmm. you think of Woodson as being a, you know, black conservative organization. Star Parker and all of the great work that she's doing at Project Cure and that. But you don't think of them as an alternative to BLM. Mm-hmm. We wanted to be in the exact same lane. We wanted to leverage the nomenclature that had so much momentum. But the other thing that we felt that was important is that people not lose the significance of the moment because we are emphasizing black life. Mm-hmm. And the fact is all things are not equal. We hear so often, well, come on, can't we just move on? The racial division is too high. You're using black life in your moniker. It still divides us. And I'm saying, no, be great if we could move on. Be great if all things were level. Everything is equal. Of course, God made us completely equal. Mm-hmm. All lives matter, of course. Every life it means is the same in God's eyes. We're with you 100%. But things are not
equal. Kevin, I'm going to have to jump in here. We're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Kevin McCreary. He's the founder of Every Black Life Matters. We'll be right back.
Oh, Lord, forgive us. Hear back toward you.
Music of Fred Hammond with If My People. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Kevin McCreary. He's the founder of Every Black Life Matters. Kevin, as we begin this segment, before you pick up where you left off, would you pray for listeners to have ears to hear all that the Holy Spirit would say to them and equip them with in terms of truth and understanding about the issues we're looking at today?
Absolutely. This is this piece I'm about to get into, and this is the perfect opportunity for us to pray about this, because this is particularly illuminating, and a lot of people can miss it. And we need that their eyes of understanding would be completely illuminated. So I'm going to pray like Ephesians 1:18 reminds us, to open their eyes of their heart would be enlightened. Okay. So that they may know the hope of which they were called. So, Father, we just pray right now for all of the listeners that you would completely open the eyes of the heart, of all of the hearts, that they may be enlightened in order that they may know you, the hope for which you have called them, and that they may know, Lord, the words that you are speaking, not that I'm speaking, but you are speaking directly to them. We pray that you will convict in all of the areas that they need convicting. You will strengthen in all the areas that they need strengthening. And that you will confirm and affirm in all the areas that they need affirming. So, Father, do your perfect work in them as we go into this this time of complete illumination of the schemes and machinations of the enemy. And we just are thankful that you've given us the opportunity to expose it. Right now, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.
So, I was getting to the point where the reason why we can't say, well, let's just move on, let's not use, let's just, you know, everything's equal, let's just move on, all things are equal. Surely we're made equal, but we can't say that blacks in America have it completely equal with everybody else. And the reason why I say that, and I say it emphatically, is because there was a hateful white supremacist, woman by the name of Margaret Sanger. Mm-hmm. And her goal was to completely exterminate the Negro population. That was her words. Mm-hmm. And that was also her business plan. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people, Pastor Joseph, and you know this, and your roads that you've traveled, who would say, well, you know, we need family planning clinics or we need Planned Parenthood. They need to understand, and I'm hopeful that their eyes would be illuminated right here, right now, in the name of Jesus, that the business plan of Margaret Sanger was to exterminate blacks. That was the business plan. Hmm. That was the business plan, folks. Mm-hmm. Now, what she ended up doing was to start these, what they called back in the day, family planning clinics, which they call today Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. And then she said, well, we'll have mammograms, we'll have pap smears, we'll have these other things to round out the services so it's not so overt what we want to do. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to exterminate blacks. That's why they started. That was her business plan. Mm-hmm. Okay? So people who are now supporting Planned Parenthood know what you're supporting. You're supporting an organization that started with the emphatic goal to exterminate blacks. Now, mm-hmm. The reason why mentioning that so emphatically is because they have been, unfortunately, very successful at, you know, making sure that they've been not leveling the playing field to the extent that blacks are born at a much more disproportional rate than all other ethnicities. Mm-hmm. Because that was her plan, you know, even though blacks only make up 13% or so of the percent of the population, Planned Parenthoods are in 80 to 90% of all black urban, you know, environments. And therefore, we're targeted, specifically and strategically targeted. And, you know, we make up 40-plus percent of the abortions across the country. And so we, and so the reason why we're named Every Black Life Matters is because from conception to the grave, we want to illuminate the fact that blacks have a disproportional target from conception. Just to get out of the womb is a big deal for blacks. Mm-hmm. So she didn't say, look, we're going to target and exterminate blacks and Latinos or blacks and whites or blacks and Asians. She said the black, the Negro population, mm-hmm. period. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's important that every black life matters. We're just, this is not a statement of superiority. So a lot of people, when they say this, mm-hmm. they say, why do you have to, you know, mention blacks because it's still divided? No. This is not, they're misinterpreting our intent here. Mm-hmm. This is not a statement of superiority. This is a statement of equality. Mm-hmm. We just want to be born at the same rate that everyone else is. Mm-hmm. We want to just have it equal. That's, mm-hmm. That's all we're fighting for here, is the capacity to have the equal opportunity to just be born.
Well, Kevin, I want to just mention, I want to ask you to elaborate a little bit more on one point, a very important point, a couple points that you made. Number one is that Planned Parenthood, like so many different entities in our culture today, they're deceptive from beginning to end. They major on deception. And so just like as you mentioned their name, Planned Parenthood sounds nice, warm, and sweet. Yet they clearly have an intention of extermination, but also their goals, too. Again, will sound like whether on a website or otherwise may sound good, but they know what they're doing. Yet that's so much of our society, extreme deception. And as believers, it's so critically important that we're grounded in the Word of God. We're listening to the Spirit of God and committed to the kingdom of God. Because the fact is, so many people that many which say they love the Lord are extremely deceived today, too, in part because, again, the key needs to be looking through the lens of the Word of God. So could you elaborate on that a little further?
Yeah, so, I guess I just missed that last bit of the question that you were getting at. Could you restate that again, Pastor Joseph?
Well,
I apologize.
Specifically, the deceptive nature of both Planned Parenthood as well as so many others in our culture in pursuing their goals.
Yeah. Yeah, so ideally, they want us to not focus in on how they use language and narrative and how they manipulate us by and large by way of narrative. And so, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they use Planned Parenthood as if it's holistic and altruistic. Mm-hmm. But the reality is they're not planning anyone's parenthood. They're planning for destruction, especially as it relates to the black community. And that's all they bring to the black community is utter destruction. Mm-hmm. And so much so, and I know you know these statistics, you know, Pastor Joseph, but in New York, because some people don't know this, so
right.
please
mm-hmm.
bear with me. And I know these statistics hurt everyone's heart, but I just need to mention this.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, well, you know, I don't really understand the big deal. So what that they have their abortuaries is what I call them in these urban communities. Maybe it's just supply and demand. And I say this is how it impacts these communities. When they show up in these urban communities and they saturate on the billboards around these communities their services, quote unquote, And then they're in every single school, high school and middle school in these communities. They basically are telling our little black girls, look, you don't have to worry about contraceptive. If you get in trouble, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. We have people in the school that'll take care of it for you. And so our little black girls are using abortion as contraceptive. Now, some people say, well, I don't know the big deal, so what? I mean, you know, we have, you know, after morning or whatever pills that they can take. Here's the problem. By the time a lot of these girls, and they've done a study, a lot of these girls, and especially in New York and those surrounding areas, by the time they're 20, some of them have had somewhere between 12 to 18 abortions. Some of them, some of them chemical, and some of them surgical. Now, here's the problem: the body doesn't know the difference. The womb is just going through trauma, and so by the time they do settle down in their late 20s or 30s or whatever, and they want to get married and actually start a family, they're devastated. Their body cannot bear children. So this is devastating future generations. This is the net impact. And we all should be aware of this. We should all be appalled at the targeting of our younger generations with this kind of atrocity. This hurts.
Well, Kevin, would you specifically now, would you pray for the church and the leadership of the church in particular as it relates to, you know, you're sharing about a number of different critical issues that are critical to everything in our to our culture as a whole and the black community in particular, and the church needs to be at the forefront of addressing these issues. Would you pray for the church to really catch God's vision about how he would have us to attack these issues?
Absolutely. There's a couple of other things that we stand for at Every Black Life Matters, not only the abortion issue from the womb to the tomb, but also the nuclear family and active fatherhood. So I'm going to pray for those specific issues in this prayer.
Okay.
So, Father, we just pray right now for your body, the church. We pray, Father God, that you will continue to open up the eyes and ears and the hearts of your people who you have called, your precious bride, that you would bring forth, Lord, leadership, that you would bring forth, Lord, your body, your bride, to be ultra sensitive to your call in this hour. You need your remnant body to rise and to be committed to bringing forth justice, real justice, from the womb to the tomb, from conception to the grave, and that includes standing up for not only life from conception, but also committed to staying in a nuclear family, committed to being active in fatherhood, committed to bearing your vision, your goals, and your dreams as a nuclear family in the way that you envision. So, Father, we need the church to represent that to our community and to all communities. So, Father, let your will be done. Let there be leadership within the body of Christ committed to your plan, committed to your will, committed to bringing forth your desire for your church body for such a time as this. Bring it forth now, Lord God. Bring forth conviction. Bring forth vision. Bring forth commitment. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Kevin, if someone's wanting to get in touch with you or learn more about the organization Every Black Lives Matters, how can they do that?
Yeah, please go to our website, everyblm.com, everyblm.com. On our website, we have all kinds of resources there for you. We have a resource there about critical race theory, about how what it is, what it is not, how to, parse truth, biblical truth, in relation to CRT, how to stand against it. We also have biblical truth about COVID. We have a COVID resource center, so you can get all kinds of truth about that, exemption letters if you need that, and all kinds of other things there. We have a partner site that you can go and become a partner, and all kinds of things there. So our main thing is we want all people to understand truth. We want all people to understand how to maintain their sovereignty that God gave them, how to be free thinkers, how to be the people that God called them to be. So go to our website, and we have all of those resources there for you.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. Now, wanted to ask now, we'll be coming up on a break in a few moments here, though, but I want to start and we can try to go through the others on the other side of the break, but share with our listeners the titles of your books and the message, the summarize the message of each one, if you would, please.
Sure. You want me to go into that now or after the break?
Well, you can go and start, and we'll finish on the other side of that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the first book that I wrote was Lifestyle of the Rich in Kingdom. So it was about God and his kingdom. It's a heavy theological book, but it was written in about 120 pages. But it was, theologically rich, so it's not, it doesn't read like a novel. Mm-hmm. But it is. It was written maybe 18, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I still have any in print. I know I have some copies, but that was the first book. And then the second one was Instanity, Instant Insanity. It talked about government and it was during the Obama administration, and talked about how we went instantly, collectively insane. It was a hybrid word.
We're going to jump in right here, and we'll pick up on the other side of the break here. Our phone guest today is Kevin McCreary. He's the founder of Every Black Life Matters. We'll be right back. Music from the Walls Group, All Praise Goes to You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Kevin McCreary. He's the founder of Every Black Life Matters. Kevin, you were sharing about your second book, Instant Insanity, if you'll pick up there, please.
Yeah, so that book is dealing more with sort of the political era during the we sort of shifted from being practical, logical, thoughtful, reasonable, prudent during the Obama eras, and it carries through to this very day, and it dealt with that sort of shift during that time. And so that was Instanity. And then the one after that was Justly Justice, and that was dealing with social justice, racial justice, and human rights. And really fundamentally breaking down what is justice really, mm-hmm. and fundamentally getting to the core of the justice issue. And so I dealt with the whole justice issue in that book. And the net of it is, I don't want to give it away. Mm-hmm. So you can get that book on Amazon.
Okay.
And then the last book I just finished last year was The War on Women, From the Root to the Fruit, which side are you on? Now, it has a sort of compelling title, but for your listeners, since we're all mostly people of faith, I would assume on this network, if you understand Genesis 3:15, you know that there was a war that actually began in the garden. And Genesis 3:15 really sort of outlines that war for us. Mm-hmm. If you look at certain, depending on what translation, it talks about how God gave the consequences to Eve and the serpent. And he says, and there will be enmity or war between you, the serpent, and the woman and her offspring. Mm-hmm. And the woman and her offspring has clear connotation that we see carried out today. We've dealt a lot of this call on the woman and her offspring on this call today. And that's the outflow of that. And so I connect all of the dots from that Garden of Eden through to today. And so it brings all of that war through to current times. And so I deal with radical feminism, intersectionality, CRT, racism, everything that we've gone through culturally and socially from the garden through to today is brought up in that book. So it connects all the dots. It's something that I think is very, very relevant, and your listeners should get a copy of that. Just go to Amazon, and you'll get it in a couple days.
Okay. And also, can they go to your website as well to get all four books, too?
Best way to get it is just through Amazon. If you go to Amazon, you can get it. That's the better way, yeah.
Okay. All right. Real briefly, I want to share a passage of scripture that really speaks powerfully, especially to the title and apparent subject of your last book. This is Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, verses 10 through 20. And, you know, Kevin, I think that passage so powerfully helps us to better understand as believers that we need to see everything through the lens of spiritual warfare. And it looks like the title of your last book really helps people to much better do that.
Absolutely. That book, it actually, I don't want to give it all away, but it actually is your spiritual warfare 101 book. I mean, it literally is spiritual warfare. I mean, it takes you into it deep. It gets you, but you know, it has to be seductive and compelling. So it's sort of nuanced with the war on women, but literally, it's spiritual warfare, and it really deals with it to the nth degree. You can't get that through that book without being fully equipped by the end of it and ready to just know that you're in the battle. And so it's pretty intense, but it's I think your listeners will really appreciate it, and so it readies you for the battle. It makes sure that you're in it. So here's the thing, Pastor Joseph. We are in a battle, a cultural battle right now. We have critical race theory being taught to our kids. We have our kids being over sexualized with this new sex education stuff that they're teaching. Fortunately, we had in Virginia last week the parents standing up and taking a stand and being parents, and we're hopeful that that starts a trend across the United States. Mm-hmm. We at Every Black Life Matter is taking a stand with our parent groups across the country. We are going and we're teaching them how to stand up. We are doing what we call Remnant Rising workshops. Mm-hmm. Remnant Rising is when we go to your church or your community centers on a Saturday, a full day. We give you all the ins and outs. We fully deconstruct critical race theory, what it is, what it is not, where it comes from, all the history, all the where to's and why for's, and answer and address all of your questions about CRT. And so you as parent groups, you as pastors, you as clergy, lay members, whatever, you understand exactly what it is. Then we take you through liberation theology and black liberation theology, especially for people of faith. You need to understand what that is and what it is not as well. Mm-hmm. And so we take you through that and equip you about that and how it's antithetical. I know that you may have some listeners that may stand up still for James Cone and some of his teachings. The fact is, it is antithetical, and we will take you through exactly why and what for and whatever about that. Mm-hmm. And then we also do a session on biblical justice versus social justice. And so we spend a full day anywhere in the country. You just ask for us via our website. We will come to you and give you all the resources you need to equip you. We will also spend time with helping you to understand how to combat your city councils and school boards and make sure that you are fully equipped to take them on, just like in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And so we're very eager to do this. We're keen to do this anywhere and everywhere because we need the remnant to rise now. Mm-hmm. This is the time, this is the season, this is the culture war, and we're here to do this. The reason why the Lord has us here today is not just to rest on our laurels, Pastor Joseph. Mm-hmm. He has us here today. The reason why we still have breath, we still have a heartbeat, is mm-hmm. because we're in this fight. That's he right. needs us to stand up and be his church. That's so right. we're here, let's get in it, let's do mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. And you know, in relation to that, the passage we read at the beginning of the broadcast about Shipra and Pew in Exodus chapter 1 is it's a short passage, but a powerful story that speaks to the church today. There's such a great need for the church to, number one, decide that my greatest allegiance is to God and His Word, and I fear God before people, and to stand up and be counted and wherever God has placed you. And these two little ladies stood up for what was right, and God used them and probably helped save the life of a little baby boy named Moses, amongst other things. But courage, courageous obedience is what God calls all of us to.
Yep, we're in a Jude moment now. We need to be contending for the faith right mm-hmm. now. Right now, everybody. This is that time. This is that season. If you haven't read Jude lately, please read it. It's only one book. Mm-hmm. So get acquainted with it. We need to be snatching our brothers and sisters out of the fire right now. Mm-hmm. And we're more than capable of doing it. And so let's get in there. Let's start snatching our brothers and sisters out of the fire. They're in the fire. They don't even know it. Mm-hmm. They're being consumed. They are being, consumed by culture. The culture's on fire, man. I mean, the mm-hmm. culture is just—it's just terrible. Mm-hmm. It's demonic. It's consuming everything in its wake, and we need to snatch our brothers and sisters out. So let's roll up our sleeves, let's put on our fire gear, fire retardant gear. Let's go in there and let's start snatching them out. Let's do our work. Okay.
That's right. That's right. Share the website one more time if someone wants to get in touch with you.
It's everyblm.com, everyblm.com. Again, please go to our resources tab. We got all kinds of resources out there for you. Pre-written CRT letters that you can become an immediate activist and send those CRT letters to your school boards and corporations and all of that. We have COVID resources there for you that you can share and use. We have additional partner resources. Please become a partner with us. Please help us. Pray for us, definitely, but, we have many, many foes out there that are, they are just behemoths from a fundraising standpoint, mm-hmm. and we're going up against all of it, and we have a fraction of a percentage of what they have, and we need warriors who will help us fund all of the many, many places where we have to go and travel and do. And we can't do it, unless we have faithful partners and donors out there are willing to stand with us to do it. So please help us. We need your help.
Amen. Amen. Well, as usual, towards the end of our broadcast, once again, we want to invite, if there's anyone listening today that has never made the step of asking Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a great day to get saved. Today is a great day to commit your life to Jesus Christ. The most important decision in all of life is making that decision to give your heart to the Lord. Would you simply pray this prayer with me if you'd like to make that step in your life? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you would have me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. If you just pray that prayer for the first time, we'd really like to hear from you. Want to share with you some resources that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Or if you simply have questions or want materials that'll help you to grow in your walk with the Lord, we're glad to hear from you. We want to hear from you. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Kevin, would you share your website one more time before our time runs out?
EveryBLM.com. EveryBLM.com. Please visit us. Please join us. Please partner with us. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you.
All right. Thanks, Kevin, for being with us today.
Thank you, Pastor Joseph. God bless you.
And thank you for being a part of our listening family. Please pray much for Kevin and for the work of that great organization that's doing great kingdom work. Every Black Life Matters. Hope you'll do that. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.